John, is there anything in the Nostradamus prophecies, based on your interpretation, that just even scared you?
Well, yeah, I think the Mabus prophecies certainly are rather dire, and the one I read earlier about the blood-soaked human bodies and the icy, red and icy rain across the world, across the earth, is the problem with any prophecy is to look beyond one's own emotions, one's own preconditioned responses to prophecy, and see it beyond that light to something better. And, you know, it's just like a lot of times, I remember one time a man came to a signing of one of my first books and said, you know, Mr. Hogue, I really like your books, but I find this one, your Nostradamus book, so a lot of the prophecies are very negative. And I think that we ought to have positive thoughts all the time and think positively, because that's probably what's going to make the world a better place. And I said, well, sir, it's thank you for what you're saying, but it sounds to me like you have a tremendous negativity towards negativity.
All right, to the phones we go. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Charles from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Hey, Charles, thanks for holding so long.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to remind you of your February 7th show where you had Paul Guercio and George Hart on about the Merlin Project.
Yes.
And I was wanting to ask John Hogue there about the Merlin Project predicted for George Bush in 2006, his time track falls off the chart. And I was wondering if that would pretty much essentially fulfill Nostradamus' prophecy, saying that Mabus could be George Bush, and that could be the catalyst to what's going to cause this 27-year war and everything else with Nostradamus' prediction. And also I wanted to ask if Nostradamus is ever wrong.
Okay, well, first with the last part, yes, he's wrong, because, in fact, I would add that all prophets can be wrong, because the future is not written in stone. It's dynamic. The very fact that we're speaking tonight about certain things and millions of people are listening, in a way, is potentially altering the future. Who knows who's listening tonight? Who knows who's listening from the White House tonight? Might change a course or a policy slightly, create a butterfly effect, if you will, and change the course of these things. There's a lot of things in Nostradamus that read like alternative futures that are never going to happen. There are, of course, some people who subscribe to the ideas, basically from the Old Testament and Deuteronomy, that there's a certain litmus test for prophecy, that it always has to go a certain way and the prophet is always right. Unfortunately, Moses, who's purported to have written that, there's no counterbalancing word from the Hittites or the Canaanites or other people to record whether he got anything wrong. It's sort of like me saying, I'm your only source, and I'm always right. And, you know, so it may be true, it may not be true, but if you don't have a counterbalancing judgment from another prophetic tradition, it sounds like propaganda. So in my own 30 years of studying this, going around the world many places, I find that things can be changed and Nostradamus can be wrong. Like anybody else, he's human. Now, about the first part of your question, there are definitely some windows of very difficult times if you study, the president's chart. And he's entering one of them, like I said, at the end of July, going through October. That could be a major crisis time for the president. Could be a health crisis, could be a policy crisis, a lot of things. There's a interesting prophecy of Nostradamus, which uses the word dubieux, and it's used only once in that spelling, and dubieux in another part of the 36,000 words of Nostradamus. What it means is the doubtful one. There's only one other word used only once in this prophecy, and that's the capital. So Nostradamus loves to describe people by their nicknames. And up until 2000, there was nobody who matched this except a certain leader in our times called Dubia. W. The nickname of George W. Bush phonetically fits with this prophecy, which reads, "A dubia, a doubtful one, a dubious one, will not come far from the realm. The greater part will want to support him. A capital," and by the way, that's spelled exactly the way we spell it for our own Capitol building, "will not want him to rule at all. His great burden he will not be able to maintain." Now, if this is about the current president, there are some interesting parallels. He's not gone far from the realm. This current president has not been one to travel around the world until he was president. So he's not come far from his homeland. The greater part will want to support him. Well, if this is about Bush, then the second term, it's very true. He won a mandate of a kind of 3.5 million when in the last presidential election he won with a deficit of 540,000 mm-hmm, votes. Mm-hmm. So more than half would be with him. A capital will not want him to rule at all. Well, if the capital is representative of the House and Senate, then it may imply, as the next linking prophecy to this implies, a scandal of some kind which is so onerous that even his own party will not support him, which implies that impeachment or something of a nature, his great burden he'll not be able to maintain. Now, certainly this president has a very ambitious agenda. He's a revolutionary of conservative values that certainly could become a great burden if he's not able to maintain his very ambitious attempts to change domestic and foreign policy. Now, there, as I said earlier, there are links in the prophecies to certain key words, and since dubia only shows up in another prophecy as dubious, as a qualifier, there seems to be some link. It's almost like part two of the same story, and it goes like this. By the detractor, calumny, scandal, against the younger born. When enormous and warlike deeds will go on, the least part doubtful for the elder one, or the elder ruler. And soon, in the kingdom, there will be partisan deeds. Now, it's intriguing that there's this now talks about younger and older. Now, usually in a more classic sense, we're talking about an old king's descendant, his heir, who is not viewed by history in the future in the kinder light of the father. This could be applied to George H.W. Bush as the elder, and the younger one being George W. Bush.